Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Yumah Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph. Amar Aleph, the fourth line, Amar Rav Chisda. In our previous Shi'ur, we had discussed the halacha of Hagrola, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol brought a Tzor LaHashem and a Tzor LaChatas, and the Gemara had taught us that the Hagrola, that the way the two Seirim, the two animals, were identified, which was going to be the Sor LaShem, which was going to be the Sor LaZazel, was through Agrola, through making a lottery to determine that identification. We had learned the primary subject in our previous Shi'ur was that Hagrola Ma'akva, that conducting the Hagrola was absolutely essential. The Torah says that you have to, only way you could identify these two animals is what has Hagrola. In the course of learning that, the Gemara brought up the concept of a, the Gemara will bring up primarily in today's Shi'ur, a kan. Kan means a pair of birds. Certain times, the Torah tells us that the carbon should be brought is a kan. A kan means two birds. The only birds that could be used for Karbonis are Tairim, are doves, or B'nai Yoyinu, are pigeons. And as we're going to learn, the Torah tells us that when we identify, when we bring these two birds, one is going to be brought of as a carbon oila, and one is going to be brought as a carbon chatos, the identification could only happen at one of two times. It begins the Gemara with that halacha. Amar Rav Chisda, Eina Kinim is Parashos. The birds cannot be identified for the purpose that they're being brought. Ella, Ovil Kichas Balim, at the time that the owners buy those birds and identify which bird is going to be which, Ovil Kichas Balim, or through the, or when the owner, sees Kayin, when the Kayin decides to, when the Kayin comes to do the Avoida, and he says, this is going to be the Chattas and this is going to be the Oila. That means, as Rashi explains, if when the owner took these two birds, he said, this bird is going to be the oil and this bird is going to be the chatos, the kohen cannot reverse what the owner said. And if he's going to try to bring the birds in a different way than the owner identified, the carbon will be disqualified. However, if the owner did not identify at that moment when he bought it what each bird should be for, so he has no longer the option to do so at a later time. However, the Kohen could decide to bring whichever bird for whatever purpose he wants when it's actually up to being makariv the bird. Amar of Simi Bar Asi, my time with Rav Chisda. Where does Rav Chisda take this halacha for? The Ksiv. The Torah Akdosha speaks about a Yoledes. And if Yoledes, we know, has to bring a carbon, but if she can't afford to bring a kevis for an oila, the Torah says v'locha shtei sarim v'shnei b'nei yoina echad la'oila v'echad l'chattis. So we see from here v'locha, at the moment that she takes these two birds, she could decide echad la'oila v'echad l'chattis, which will be the oila, which will be l'chattis. The Zav, the Torah also says he should bring two birds, and the Torah says v'asa oisa makayin. So here we see v'asa, when the kohen actually is being makriv the birds, when he's about to be makriv them, he could be decide which will be the oil, which will be the chatas. So what we see from these psukim is that the birds could be decided for what purpose they will be used. Oibel kicha, when the owner bought them. Oibel siya, when the kohen actually did the avoida with them. So says Rashi that if the owner, when he bought the animal, bought the birds, did not make any identification, and later on he decided, it's too late. And the kohen could what the owner said at a time, which is after the not the shas lekicha, and truthfully, if it's not the shas asiyah, and either the kohen or the owner make a declaration, that type of declaration will also be considered a meaningless declaration. So now the Gemara brings that this concept together with what we're learning in our shurim about what is the role that Hagrola plays in the identification of the Seerim. Meisei. The Torah says, regarding the Seirei Yom Kippurim, V'ikra koin as a sora sha'olo of Agor Lashem, v'sor chatas. So we see from this pasuk that the goyrel is what determines which animal is going to be the chatas. We can learn from here, ha-goyrel oiso chatas, it's only a goyrel that makes the determination, then Hashem oiso chatas. But just declaring it without making a goyrel is meaningless. So says the Braisa, shiyachol, because we would maybe make an argument, for like dinu, we can make the following logical argument. By other kabbonis, where the goyrel is not what identifies which bird should be used for which purpose. As we've been learning in our shir, the way to determine which bird is going to be the oila and which bird is going to be the chatas is through the identification. The halacha is kidesh Hashem, by calling them the carbon that you're going to call them. Goyrel doesn't work, but the shame does work. So makom shekidesh hagoyrel. So by the Seir Yom Kippurim, where the Torah says that the goyrel is the way we make the determination, ein adin shekidesh Hashem. So certainly we should think that the shame should be effective as well. Tamaloyim, that's why the pasuk has to teach us v'sa chatas, to teach us specifically goyrel is a chatas, vein shame is a chatas. Only a goyrel can make into a chatas, nothing else. Now ask the Gemara on Rav Chisda. Regarding the case situation of the Seirim, that the time when the goyrel is conducted, lav shas lekicha, it's not a time of lekicha, because the animals were bought obviously from before Yom Kippur. Lav shas asiya, the kohen is not being makriv at this point the carbon, because we're not makriv the carbon, as we discussed also in our previous year. We do the goyrel much before we even bring the par. And as we learned in our previous year, the par is brought before the chatas. So the time that the goyrel is conducted, elav shas lekicha and elav shas asiya, it's neither, and yet we learned the kava. So we see that the kriya could be the identification of what this should be, what every carbon should be, doesn't have to be specifically at the shas asiya or the shas kinyan. So Tosfos Shanim asks the question, why is there a raya from this braisa that against Rav Chisda? Maybe Rav Chisda halacha was said only by kinyan. That's how we began the shiur today. And by kinyan, we could say that the only time we could determine which bird is going to be used for which purpose, for oil or chattis, only b'shas l'kicha, b'shas asiyah. But here we're speaking about an animal that's brought from a carbon, from a carbon that's brought from an animal. By carbon that's brought from an animal, there we're not limited to shas l'kicha or shas l'asiyah. So Tosfos Shanim says that the halacha that Rav Chisda stated is not only relevant by birds. It's by all kabbonis. Even by a nozer, for example, that has to bring two behemoths, one for oil and one for chatas, and he doesn't determine, and he has to determine which will be used for which purpose, he could only do so also b'shas l'kicha, b'shas l'siya. Because explains the Tosfos Shanim. Once the Torah told us explicitly, as we learned in our shiur today, that by kinim it could only be determined b'shas l'kicha, b'shas l'siya, that becomes dalocha by all other kabbonis. And therefore, the Gemara has every right to ask a question from the sawyer, which is a carbon, to the, from the sawyer, which is a carbon, to the kinim, which are birds. Amar Rava, says Rava, no. We could be still correct that the birds could only be identified b'shas l'kicha, b'shas asiyah. Vach kamar. And this is the way to understand the Braisa, that if we didn't have the pasuk, we would say the following kol v'chomer. If by all kabbonis, where goyrel is not a way to identify which should be used for what carbon, even if you did the goyrel b'shas l'kicha, or you did the goyrel b'shas asiyah, that isn't the method how to identify which animal, which one should be used for which purpose. Still, kiddush Hashem, by making the verbal declaration, it's effective b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya. So certainly makom shekiddush ha-goyrel, where we find on Yom Kippur that the goyrel has the ability to determine which animal should be used for which carbon, and it has that ability to do so even shloi b'shas l'kicha v'shloi b'shas asiya, which we don't find by any other carbon. Ein adin shekiddush Hashem. So certainly, so if there's an extra way of how to be mekadosh the karbonos on Yom Kippur, then the traditional way that works by all karbonos, ein adin shekiddush Hashem. So certainly that traditional way of verbal declaration shall work on Yom Kippur, b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya. And that says the Gemara, tam loimer v'asay chattis, that a goyel is a chattis, vein Hashem is a chattis, that the only way to make it is b'shas chattis. Now, the Rishonim point out, the Tosfos Rishonim points out, that even though we're trying to learn from all other kabbonis that Kriyas Hashem works b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya, so too should be the halacha by Yom Kippur. All the Kal v'chomer says the Tosfos Rishonim is trying to accomplish is that the Kriyas Hashem on the Seire Yom Kippur should work b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya, but that it should also work shaloi b'shas l'kicha shaloi b'shas asiya was never something that the Gemara even attempted to say should be effective. And Tosfos Rishonim says the reason is because whenever we speak about a Kal v'chomer, there's a rule regarding Kal v'chomer is called Daya Lovam Min Adin Lias Kanidin. If I'm learning something from somewhere else, the subject which I'm learning cannot end up with a more lenient rule than from where I am learning it. So if we're learning in our entire shiur today that the only time you could identify al yedei shem through declaration a carbon is b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya, and now we're trying to make an argument that so should be the din by Yom Kippur that Kriyas Shem should be effective, it could not be stronger than it is from where I am learning. And since from where I am learning, it's only effective b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya, therefore by Yom Kippur would also have to be that way. So what would happen if the Kal v'chomer that we're learning now, which of course is not going to be the case, were to stand, it would mean only b'shas l'kicha and b'shas asiya of the Sire Yom Kippur, the halacha would be that I could be magish them. But the Gemara never attempted to think or to say that the Kriya Shem should be effective on Yom Kippur, even Shloi B'Shas L'Kicha, Shloi B'Shas Asiya, because I wouldn't have a source from where to learn that halacha. That's what the Kal v'chomer would teach us, but tells us the Gemara, Tamalayim, the Pasuk says, V'Sayu Chattis, to teach us, Hagar Lo Yisayu Chattis, Ve'en Hashem Lo Yisayu Chattis, that's the halacha. So in order to begin the next part of our shir, the Torah HaKadosh tells us that if somebody enters the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei, or eats kachin when he's tamei, he has to bring b'shogig, he has to bring a carbon. The carbon that he has to bring is known as a carbon oil of yoyrid. Carbon oil of yoyrid is a carbon that's dependent on a person's financial situation. If he, Baruch Hashem, could afford it, he brings a behemoth for carbon chattis. And that's it. If he can't afford to buy an animal for carbon chattis, he brings two birds, one for oila and one for chattis. And if he can't even afford that, which is called, the first carbon is ashiris, the second one is dalis, and if somebody is extremely poor that he can't even afford two birds, dalis, he brings a carbon mincha, which is in the category of a carbon chattis. The time that we determine are you wealthy or poor to determine what type of carbon you need to bring is the time when you actually bring the carbon, not when you did the Aveira. So therefore, if somebody entered Beis HaMikdash when he was poor, and before he brought the carbon, he, Baruch Hashem, became wealthy, he has to bring a carbon usher, and so too vice versa. So our Gemara discussed the situation that somebody was poor, and he's identifying money for his kabbonis, and he wants to buy the two birds that he's have to, and he decides which money, so he just has money, and he didn't make any determination what's what. So that's called a kansosim. But let's say he makes a determination, what should be for the chatos and what should be for the oila. Toshma. So we begin. Metame migdish oni. If somebody went into the base of migdish when he was poor, vifishmas lakinoi, and he separated money to buy the birds that he has to bring. And then, after he made that separation, hesher, he became wealthy. And since he became wealthy, now he has to bring a carbon like a wealthy person, an animal. Vakach, and after he did so, he separated the money, and he said, Oma elil chatosoi, this portion of the money should be used for the carbon chatos that I'm obligated to bring, and elil oila, and this money should be used for the carbon oila that I'm obligated to bring. So what he did is actually should be considered meaningless. Because at this point, because Baruch Hashem, he became wealthy, he's not mechuyev to bring birds. He's supposed to bring an animal. So what does he do? Says the Braisa, the money that he separated, that identified to be the Karm Chatos money, he should take that money and take, add to it the value of an animal. And now he has an animal for his Karm Chatos, money for his Karm Chatos. He can't take, but the money that he identified to be the oil money cannot be used for a chattis. Now ask the Gemara, for Hacha, at what point did he make this designation? So as I said, when he took out the money to use for the pair of birds that he thought he was going to have to bring, that was the Shas Lekicha. He then, later, at a later point, not the Shas Asiya, identify that this money should be for the chatos and this money should be for oila. So says the Gemara, v'hocha, the lav shas l'kicha, the lav shas asiya. The point when he made that identification was neither the shas l'kicha nor the shas asiya, and yet we say that what he did is considered halachically valid, the kava, and we're saying that the money is identified for carbon chatos has chatos status. The money that was identified for carbon oila has oila status. But why? We said the shir, if Chizda started the shir today, it's only b'shas l'kicha, b'shas asiya. On Rashi v'tizbara, so says Rav Sheshet, do you think that this brisa is anyway not a brisa that has some corruption in it, not authentic? If somebody who's a wealthy person, behavi carbon ani, and he brought the carbon of ani, la yotza, that he can't be yotza if he's Baruch Hashem able to afford a carbon asher, he can't be yotza with a carbon ani. Makes the Gemara's point. V'kivin de la yotza, if we're speaking about a situation where he already, Baruch Hashem, became wealthy, so hechikava, how could that money be identified, even if that halacha would be that you could identify money not b'shas what it should be for, and it should be considered a valid determination, even though it's not shas l'kicha, shas asiya, but why is this identification anyway valid? At this point, Baruch Hashem, he could afford to bring an animal, and therefore the money that he separated can't be used for a bird. El ma'is l'chameima, that how do we have to understand the braisa that he said it, m'shas aniyosoi, that when did he make the determination which money will be for the oila and which money will be for the chatos? Not at this point where he's already wealthy. He said it before he became wealthy. So says the Gemara, if we already have to interpret that this braisa meant to say that he made this a determination when he was still poor, and that's why it's valid. So I'll say furthermore, I'll say that he made these identifications when he separated the money, which is consistent with Rav Chizda, that b'shas l'kicha, we can make these identification. But ask the Gemara, but we have the opinion, ask the Gemara, of Chag Amar Boishya, the Omar, that even if somebody is wealthy, and he could bring the carbon of a wealthy person, he could bring an animal, and instead of bringing an animal, he brought the carbon ani, his yotza b'di'evit. So asks the Gemara, why do I have to say, Heshvach kach omar? And then we ask the question, that why is that valid? Because at that point, Baruch Hashem, since he's wealthy, the identification can't be made at that point, he has to bring a carbon usher, a coin of chaga, he doesn't have to bring an usher. So we don't have to say, Michael Mema, we don't have to say that the brisa is corrupted. In other words, what made us be able to say that that this identification was made b'shas afrosha, and therefore it could be consistent with Rav Chizkiya's opinion, was the fact that we anyway had to sort of modify this brisa and say that the identification that he didn't make the identification after he became wealthy, but he only made the identification before he became wealthy. So if we're learning the brisa that way, we might as well learn it. So that's what we're saying. We had to make a modification. We can make another modification. But now that we don't have to make any modification, so why are we saying? So what? What will we say to our question? Says the Gemara. The way to understand the brisa is that when he bought the birds, he made the identification. Ask the Gemara. If we're talking about lokach, that he bought the birds, meisav mei chavasoi. So now we're saying it's not just that he had money. He actually made the identification when he bought the birds. That's shas lekicha, and he said that this bird should be for the carbon chatas, and this bird should be for the carbon oila. And then the brisa said, and since he baruch Hashem became wealthy, he had the money that the. So now we're going to say it's not money because we're not talking about money anymore. We're going to say that the bird that identified for Karmat Chatas will be redeemed and we'll have now some money in our hand, and then we'll add additional money to be able to buy an animal for Karmat Chatas, and the carbon oil we can't do that way. But most of maybe Chatasai, what will we say that means? My need the parakle, he'll redeem that bird and he'll bring a carbon and he'll use the extra that money plus extra money to buy behema. But ask the Gemara, is v'ein pidyon life. You can't be paid the knife. You can be paid the behema that's identified for carbon, but cannot be used for its intended use. But you can't do that for a bird. And the Mefarshim discuss at great length why is that the halacha that ain't pidyon life. The Ratvaz explains, it's a gzeiros hakasuf, that the Torah says that animals do have pidyon, but birds don't have pidyon. The Rishash says a different explanation. He says, when we look at a bird, the bird doesn't have, you never put a bird into a keli. And whereas a behema, we know, there are many klisharis involved, starting with the Kabbalah Saddam. So since there's not going to be a klisharis involved in the bringing of the bird as a carbon, and we've learned many times that the klisharis have the ability to be makadish. So when I'm going to use a kli shoris in the procedure of this carbon, so then only when the animal or parts of the animal are put into the kli shoris do they attain that level of kedusha that pinyon is no longer an option. But a bird that never is going to be put in a kli shoris, as soon as it has a kedusha saper, as soon as it's verbally designated as a carbon, it obtains the kedusha that we can no longer be pided. Another pshat that the Rishayim suggest is that in the process of being paida, we do hamod of arocha. We have the animal stand and we assess its value. Hamod of arocha isn't possible by birds. So says the Gemara, this is the way to understand it. Amar papa kugon shalocha preida achas. He took the money and he bought with it one of the birds. E oilazoven, and now the Bryce explains. And this is how he's explaining the brisa. If he bought an oila, ma'isav maybe lechavasay midmeichetasay. So the rest of the money that he has, which should have been used for bird chatos, but he didn't buy the bird with it, he takes that money and he uses it plus whatever other money he needs to add to buy an animal carbon chatos. Vay oila, and this bird that he identified to be the carbon oila, azal on the dover, will be brought for on the dover on the mizbeach. But if he took half the money, and with that half he bought a chatos, the money that he had that he didn't spend yet on buying a bird, he can't use it for a carbon oila, because he can't use that money to buy a carbon chatos, a behema, because that money has been identified to be used for carbon oila. And this bird that was bought to be brought as a karmi chattis, but now will not be brought as a karmi chattis because the animal is going to be brought as a karmi chattis. And you can't be poyed to that bird, because as we just said, ain pidyon lifus, that bird is azal mesa. As we know, very often the Gemara discusses chamish chatas mesas. There are certain situations where the Torah says that a chatas is put to death. And that is when essentially the common denominator between all of those cases is when the chatas that I have cannot be used for its intended purpose, which is exactly this case. You can't use the bird for that purpose. And therefore, it misa azla. Gufa, so the Gemara goes back to the subject that we discussed about a wealthy person becoming poor or vice versa. What is dalach? Gufa amar blaz amar boishya. The Tamei Mikdash Osher, you have a person who is a Tamei Mikdash and he's wealthy. Ve'evi carbon ani, and he brought a carbon ani, la yotza. He's not yotza because he's supposed to bring an animal, not a bird. Rechag amar Hashem Osher yotza. He is yotza. Meisvei asked the Zakasha on the opinion of Chaga. The Mishnah Masechta Nagum, Perik Yudal Mishnah Yibes, discusses Mitzayra Ani, that a Mitzayra, after he comes Tohor, he has to bring a Keves La'asham, and Shtei Tzayra Shnei B'nai Yoyna, Echel La'oil V'echel Chattis. Shnei, that's the Aloch if he's an Ani. Shehevi Karban Asher, if he brought the Karban of an Asher, he's Yotza, that he brought Shnei Kvasim and a Kivsa. However, Asher Shehevi Karban Ani, of a Mitzayra, who is wealthy and he ended up bringing a carbon ani, the loch is la yotza. Rav Chaga said that an usher that brought the carbon of ani is yotza. Answers the Gemara, you can't ask from there, because this is a loch by Mitzayra, and by Mitzayra shani hasim the ksiv, the Torah says, zois tia Torah sa Mitzayra, ha Mitzayra, the Torah specifies this way, and only this way is the way that the Mitzayra could have a kapara, and therefore an usher who brought the wrong carbon, who brought the carbon of an ani, is not yotza. Ask the Gemara, yachi reishanami, so then we should say also that an ani who brought the carbon of an usher is not yotza. Answers the Gemara, harabi rachmana tyrus. The tyrus said the word, the tyrus used the word zois tyra tyrus and mitzayra, that an ani who brought the carbon of an usher, he didn't have to, is still yotza. For Tanya, ask the Gemara, do we learn a brisa when the Torah says zois tia Torah mitzayra the rabbis mitzayra ani shevi carbon asher yochel afilu asher shevi carbon ani tamalay mezois? So here we have a raya. The Vatanya is not a kasha. Vatanya is a raya. V'neil f'mina says the Gemara. Why don't we learn from the halacha from a mitzayra that just like an asher can't bring a carbon ani, so too should be a halacha that if somebody who was an asher and went into the Beis Hamikdash and b'tumah that he has to bring the carbon asher, that he's not yotza the carbon with a carbon ani. And says the Gemara, Mi'at Rachmana, the Torah says by Mitzar Vim Dalhu, who v'loy acher, that this halacha, that an asher can't be yotza with the carbon of an ani, was strictly said by a Mitzayra, but by Metame Migdash, even though of course it's not the right thing, he can be yotza. So it's very interesting. The Chinuch, when he speaks about these halachas, says that a Metame Migdash ani that brought a carbon usher was not yotzi dei chavasa. And all the achronim try to understand the words of the Chinuch. Why isn't the halacha that just like by a Mitzayra ani who brought a carbon usher, we just learned the limud of Tyras, that is yotza, why shouldn't the same halacha apply by somebody, an ani, who went into the Beis Hamikdash when he was Tamei, that even though he only had to bring the carbon of an ani, he brought the carbon usher, he's yotza. So Chassam Sofer differentiates between the carbon of a Mitzayra and the carbon of a Metame Migdash. He says the carbon of Mitzayra is a machsher. It, because he brings the carbonus, he could go into the Beis Hamikdash. He could eat kabbonis. So therefore, the Torah is not so strict and says that even though the Ani brought the carbon of an usher, he's yotza. Whereas, says the Chassam Sofer, the carbon that's brought by somebody who entered the Beis Hamikdash when he's Tamei is a mechaper. What do I mean when I say he's a mechaper? He did an Aveira, and he has to have a kapara. There, the Torah says everybody has their own kapara, and you can't be yotza with a kapara which the Torah did not subscribe to you. The Sfasemis says a little deeper. He says an ani brings two birds, and as we said, what are the two birds? One is a carbon chatas, and one is a carbon oila. An asher brings one animal. What is that animal? A Karmel Chattis. So he says, if this Ani, who has to bring both a Chattis and Oilo, is going to end up bringing only one behemoth, which is a Karmel Chattis, he hasn't fulfilled what the Torah wants from him. Because the Torah wants from him both a Chattis and an Oilo. And he's only bringing a Karmel Chattis. So since he hasn't fulfilled what the Torah wants from him, that's why Lo Yotza. The Mishnah continues to discuss, we spoke about the Seirim, and the Mishnah discusses the Seirim that are brought and what are done with them. It says the Gemara, Kosh Loshin Zahuris, Beroy Sar Mishtalech, they took a red thread and they tied it between the horns of the Sar La'azazel, V'mida K'nes G'bei Shluchai, and they put it towards the gate that's going to be taken out of the Azara when it's going to throw down the mountain. L'nishchat, and on the animal, the soil Hashem that's going to be slaughtered, we put a connect to Beis Chitosai, and we're going to be discussing in the Gemara extensively what does the Mishnah mean with this statement, connect Beis Chitosai. So the Mikdash Tavit asks the question, how does our Mishnah say that we could tie this thread, the string, to the head of the animal? Isn't this considered Keshe Shukayama? And there's no Chiyah Midaraisa to do this as the Avodah Yom Kippurim. So how can we do it on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur? Isn't that Chil Shabbos? So the Achronim answer that they didn't make a full-fledged knot, they only made an aniva. They made a bow. And since they only made a bow, that's why it's mutter to be done on Shabbos. So they saw that Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, the Meril Diskin Zatzal, asked that there's a machloikas in Meshach to Shabbos, if aniva, if making a bow, is considered kshira or not. So according to the opinion that holds that aniva, making a bow, is not kshira, so we have an excellent answer to our question. But according to the opinions that hold that aniva is considered kshira, what's the answer? So the Meril Diskin answers that even the man, the Amar that holds that aniva is considered an act of kshira, when it's not meant to be permanent, it's certainly not a problem. Here, we're going to be throwing down this bird, this animal, down the mountain. And since we're going to be throwing this animal down the mountain, it's not going to be standing. And since it's not going to be standing, that's why we don't have a problem making such a knot. Moreover, I saw that the Chayim discussed why we focused on the red thread that's on the Soil HaZazel first, before we speak about the Soil HaShem. Didn't they do the Avodah on the Soil HaShem before they did the Avodah on the Soil HaZazel? So the answer that we've learned many times, they very much looked at that red thread that they put on the Soil HaZazel, hoping that it would turn white. So, because that would be a sign that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was Meichel de Averis. So since there's so much of a focus on that red string, that's why the Mishnah mentions it first. Balai, the Kohen Gadol, comes to his power, to his animal, Shnia, a second time, v'samishtei yadav olav, and he puts his two hands on that animal, umesvada. V'kachoy oimer, ona Hashem, avisi pashati, now he's not just speaking about his family, but he's also speaking about all of the other Kohanim. Everybody who's standing in the Azara, when they heard the Kohen Gadol make this declaration, would say, Baruch Shem Kavod, Machusay La'olam Vo'ed. So the Tosfos Shanim asks that the Kohen already said Vidui once on this par. Why does he have to say Vidui a second time? So the Tosfos Shanim answers that since the par, we haven't done the Avoid on the par. So since we haven't yet done the avoid on the par, it's not considered that the par affected its kapara. Since it did not affect its kapara, that's why the Kohen is again asking for himself for kapara. The machlokes and the rishonim, we've quoted this previously. He said, the Kohen Gadol said, Ona Hashem. What was the shame Hashem that he used? Some say that he used the shame of first Yud Kei, Vav Kei, but unlike us, When we pronounce Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, we pronounce it with Adnus. He pronounced it the way Yud-Kei Vav-Kei should be pronounced. Others say that it was pronounced with a Shema Mefarish of 12 letters. And others say there was a Shema Mefarish that's made up of 42 letters that was pronounced. And Taisus Masechta Saita says a Chiddush. Most people don't know any of these things and not supposed to know how to pronounce Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, certainly don't know the Shema of Yud-Bei Zoysius, and don't know the Shema of Mem-Bei Zoysius. And here the Kohen made the big announcement, made this big declaration, and we just learned that everybody who was standing there heard that declaration. So Taisa says there was a big nais, that everybody heard it and everybody forgot it. Moreover, the Arizal says, the Pasuk said, "Bekom makom she'aska shmi Ove Elecho V'rachticha," that the Kohen Gadol himself didn't really recognize what he was saying. The words came out from his mouth by itself. So why does he have to say, after he says, "Keskosov B'Soiris Moshe Avdecha"? So I saw that the Achronim explained, who was the first person that we see that davened for Kapara for Klal Yisrael? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu davened on our behalf that we should have a Kapara. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol wants to refer back to that tefillah, and that's why he says, "Kekosev b'sora Moshe avdecha." And of course, this is the makar that all year round, when we say Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Elohim Voed, we say it quietly. Only on Yom Kippur do we say it out loud. And I saw the Achronim have a beautiful explanation to this. The Gemara says, why do we always say Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Elohim Voed quietly? Because on one hand, we find that Yaakov Avinu said they said Yaakov Avinu Baruch Shem Kavayim Chus Leilam Vod when Yaakov Avinu gave them the brachas in Parashas Vayechi, and he was scared that the Shvatim maybe don't have a lev shalom, a full heart to Hashem, and they all proclaim Baruch Shem Kavayim Chus Leilam Vod. On the other hand, so they said it out loud. On the other hand, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the Shemayim, they said Baruch Shem Kavayim Chus Leilam Vod quietly. So they left it to say it quietly. So why do we say it out loud? The question is also, how did Yaakov Avinu say it out loud? The answer is, because Yaakov Avinu at that point was like a malach. A malach is allowed to say Baruch Shem Kvei Mechus Leilam Vod out loud. On Yom Kippur, we're all like malachim. And since on Yom Kippur, we're all like malachim, we're allowed to proclaim out loud Baruch Shem Kvei Mechus Leilam Vod. So we learned in the Mishnah a statement. Asking him, what is the meaning of that statement? Ibailu akshirakoi doesn't mean that they tied a string around the neck of the Tsar Lashem, just they tied it around his beishchit, around his neck where the shchita takes place. I am modakoi, that we direct the animal in the direction where it's going to go. Just like we directed the Tsar Lazazel in the direction that it's going to go. Toshma, the Tani Reb Yosef, Kasha Loshen Shal Zahurus Baroi Sarah Mishtalech, they put a string on the head of the Sarah Mishtalech, V'meidei Keneged Beis Shaluchai, and they directed him in the direction where he's going to be taken out to the Azazel. V'leneshchet Beis Shchitasoi, and then they put a string around the Sarah Lashem, Shlo Yis'arav Zeh B'Zeh, that they shouldn't get mixed up with other animals. These two animals shouldn't get mixed up, and they shouldn't get mixed up with other animals. So says the Gemara. If we're going to say what it means is that they tied a string around the neck of the Sar Lashem, Shaper. It's very understandable. And it's very understandable it shouldn't get mixed up with other animals. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, because there were also other animals there that were going to be used for the carbon musaf. Eli Amrit, the Hamadakai, well, if we're speaking, what the Mishnah means is that we're going to put the Sa'al Hashem in the direction where it's going to take. So ask the Gemara, that will indeed accomplish the Bechavrilim Arav. The animal that's being taken as Azazel is standing in one spot. The animal that's being used for Sa'al Hashem is being stood in another spot. The High Kotabay, and here we made, and therefore it won't get mixed up with the other one, because the Sa'al HaZazel has a string around it, and High Loikotabay, and the Sa'al Hashem doesn't. However, why is this not going to be a help? The Sa'ar, Vachwin and Mias Marav, why will this not prevent that it won't get mixed up with other animals? It doesn't have a string around it. How will I know that it won't get mixed up? A laugh. From here we see Shema Mino Akshirakai Shema Mino, that the Mishnah means that they put a string around its neck. But Rashi, interestingly enough, says that even though they put a string around its neck, they also pointed it in the direction that it's going to go. Amar Yitzchak, Shtei Lashoni Shemati, I heard about two red strings, Acha Shaparo, when the Torah says, when they prepared a paraduma, where the Torah says, V'lokach HaKoyin, Eitz Erez, V'ezo V'shni Tolas, V'shlach HaToich Shrefes HaParo, that all these ingredients are thrown into the ash of the parah, V'achsha Shiram Shtalech, Achas Tzrichashir, one has a specific size, V'achas Eitz Tzrichashir, and one does not, but he comments, V'lo Yodina HaMinai, but I don't know on which of these two strings has a shear and which does not. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, Nachsi Anan. Let's try to evaluate this question. Let's try to evaluate Rabbi Yitzchak's question. So Sar HaMishtalech Dabai Chalukah. The Sar HaMishtalech has to be divided, because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Samach Zayin, that the person who takes the Sar LaZazel, before he pushes the animal down the mountain, would take the string and divide it, and half it would put on a stone, and half was put on the horns of the animal. So that's why you need a decent amount of string, and that's why it makes sense that a boy is shear, it has a size. Paro, the string that's thrown into that with all those other ingredients, the loy by chaluka that doesn't need to be divided, seemingly loy by shear doesn't have a size. Maskula, Rami Bachama, so ask Rami Bachama, this that you said, that the string that's used by the Parah Aduma, Ena Tzricha Shir, doesn't have a size, the Parah Nami, by the Parah Ayosha, should make an argument that it has to have a size. The Bai Kovit, we have to throw it into the fire, and it's going to be, as the Pasuk says, V'hishlich al toich sreifas aparah, and if it doesn't have some weight to it, it won't go into the fire. Amalei Rava, so Rava says, Kovit, this that you said, that the string that's used by the Parah Aduma has to have some weight, so it should go deep into that fire, Tanaihi, is actually a machloikas Tanoim. And Rabbi Yitzchak, who didn't suggest that the string of the Parah Aduma has to have any size, does not hold that it had to go into the fire, that it had to have some weight. As the Gemara, the Parah Lebay Chalukah, is it true that the string that's brought for the Parah doesn't have to be divided? Esrei Abaya, the Mishnah Masech the Parah, Perig Gimel Mishnah Yidal says, Ketzur Oysa, what does the Kohen do with the Eitz Erevs and the Ezov and the Shnei Tolas? Karchon B'shiyorei Loshen, he took the Eitz Erevs and the Ezov, and he took the string, and he took them into, and that's how he threw them into the fire. So it says, we have to watch the words. The Mishnah over there said the words that they were tied with Shiyorei Loshen. So we see that he didn't use the entire string. He only used part of the string. So we see that the string has to be divided. So why are you saying that only the string of the Sar LaZazel was divided? From that Mishnah, we clearly have an indication that the string of the Parah Aduma also must divide it. It says, "Dmar ena b'zlav haloshen," that they used to take that string and pull it until it got skinny at the end. And that's what they used to tie it. But it doesn't mean it was divided. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, Eitz Erev V'shtini Talas, that was thrown into the fire of the Parah, the Kalton Son Shalhevas, Ksheira. If they were singed before they actually fall into the fire, it's still fine. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, the Saviv Haloshin, if the string got singed before it actually fell into the fire, maybe Loshen Acher Mekadosh, it's not going to be satisfactory. Om Rabbi Loi Kasha, Kan Kailachas, Kan Ben Nechfeses. If there's a fire that's shutting up, so when you throw it, it went right into the fire. And since it went into the fire, you've accomplished what the Torah wants you to do. If the fire is low, and it only gets burnt from being on top of the fire, but not into the fire, so then it hasn't gotten burnt, and that's why you have to bring another string. Rav Amar, Kovid, this thing that we spoke about before, does the string that's used by the Parah Aduma have to be of weight? Is Machloek Tanoim. The Tanya, Lama Karchin, Why do we tie together the Eitz Erez of the Ezov with the Shnei Telas? Kadeshi Kulam Aguda Achas. They should all be in one bundle. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Lozbar of Shimon Oimer, Kadeshi Aben Koivid, that they should have some weight. Vyiplu Utay Sreifa Sapara, and they'll go into the actual fire. So according to Rebbe Lozbar of Shimon, they have to have some weight. And therefore, according to Rebbe, they don't have to have some weight. So now, why do we, the mandom that says that if they just get singed, it's fine? Because he holds that they don't have to have any weight. Since they don't have to have any weight, it doesn't make a difference to us if it goes into the Sreif. It's obvious that the Torah doesn't require that you go actually into the fire. The other mandom says that it has to go into the fire. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar of Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shol Shalayin Shmati. I heard the Torah speak, I heard that weight of three strings, Achas Shaparav, Achas Shah Mishtaleach, Vachas Shah Mitzairah. Achas, one of them has to weigh Asarzos, Vachas has to weigh Shnei Slaim, and one has to weigh a shekel, which is like Tuzos. Vainly Lefarish, and Rav Dimi says, I can't say which is which. Kasa Ravin, but Ravin came Pirsha, B'Shmei Rav Yosef, and he explained it. Para, since the Para Aduma has to have weight, as we just explained, Mishkol Asarzos. It has to weigh Asarzos. V'shesar Mishtaleach, that we learned that we divide into two, so therefore it has to be Shnei Slaim. The Mitzayra, that doesn't have to have weight, and is not divided, either a Mishkol Shekel, that string, a Mishkol Shekel, is enough.